Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Holmgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And it feels like we're on repeat, but every single week that we get in here, crazier and crazier stuff happens in this sport, which I don't know if that means that we've just been doing this long enough that crazy stuff is bound to happen, or we've reached some sort of tipping point where the mass media part of mixed martial arts has made it so that insanity follows it around on a weekly basis.
I think a little bit of both at this point. I think that would be a fair assessment.
Because I would say if you, and I mean you, Ken Evans, if you were to say 104 pay-per-views ago that...
So like back 3 months ago?
So pay-per-views, not events.
Oh, okay. So 2016.
104 pay-per-views ago that we would have a rematch between Dan Henderson and Michael Bisping.
Oh my God, that's a way to put it.
I think we would have called you crazy and locked you up and thrown away the key. But here we are, Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson.
I would have said, we're going to have to rematch these guys so Dan Henderson has a shot at the belt. Think about it like that.
Right. You would have had to say that.
Who was it? Was it Silva, the champ at UFC 100 still? I don't even remember.
It would have to be.
It was either him or Rich Franklin at that point.
At 100, it would have to be Silva.
Okay. So UFC 100, yeah, that was the first fight. The first fight between these two, I should say. They didn't open the card.
They did not open the card.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
They might have shut it, but they didn't open it.
So, yeah, if you would have said after that KO in the second round, yeah, I hope they get a rematch. So Henderson has a shot at the title at some point. You probably wouldn't have said that. But again, a lot of people. Here's. Oh, by the way, UFC 100, just because I was trying to get the date, I pulled it up. John Jones on the undercard. John Jones was on the prelims.
John Jones, everybody.
That night. So there you go. So, yeah, this is very, very interesting to see this rematch. It's also very, very interesting because we've got a bit of a conundrum here because I think it's not just a common knowledge, but has it been announced that Dan says he's done after this fight?
Yes, Dan says that he's done, which makes this fight really, 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 really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, and I know that, Ken, you know this, Dan Henderson has never lost a title in his career. He came to the UFC with two pride belts that he didn't lose.
Yeah.
Then when he left and he came back, he was the Strikeforce light heavyweight champion with said belt. So if you're keeping with the Dan Henderson scorecard, it would not surprise me at all if he wins the middleweight championship and pieces out into his farm full of camouflage and trucks.
So is that what he does?
I don't know. He just seems like an angry dude.
Is he living with Matt Hughes?
Yes, that's who he lives with.
I didn't know that. Do they have like a weird Ultimate Fighter retirement home that we're going to see? We're going to be back on Spike TV at some point, even though it doesn't exist anymore?
Yes.
I don't think that's crazy. I do think at this point, though, Michael Bisping's the better fighter. But is Dan Henderson in his head? Because we saw some interesting stuff at some of the media stuff in the, not the weigh-ins yet, but whatever we did yesterday as of the Friday taping of the show.
Yeah, the media
picture taking thing.
I don't know. And I think you and I have talked about this. Like every time that Dan Henderson ends up in an octagon, we're like, can you please go? It is time to go.
No, you always say go. I'm always like, I don't care. Make your money. Whatever. You're leaving that to your kids, right? Because you're not going to enjoy it later. So just so you know.
Okay. So, but if you go back and you look, I mean, he gets destroyed by Cormier. He gets destroyed by Vitor Belfort. He was just a rag doll for Hector Lombard before he out of nowhere knocked out Hector Lombard. Which is how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. Bisping is the better fighter. However, it only takes Dan Henderson literally one shot to make this a bad night.
To end the fight.
And he looks way worse every time he's in the octagon. Ever since he turned 40, it has been a downward spiral for Dan Henderson, now at 44, I believe. Everything in me tells me that if he wins, I hope he goes. But it is Dan Henderson, and I would not be surprised.
At some point, maybe he'll fight BJ.
Right.
We'll talk about
Later. We will talk about that later because BJ needs something to do at this point. I would not be surprised, though, if he sticks around and wants to defend it as much as I would not be surprised. And I know this seems like a half answer if he took the belt and ran away like he was Sable.
So what do you do at this point if you have Dan Henderson win this fight tomorrow night at UFC 204? You've gotten the guy. And again, I'm not trying to ascribe too much to the rankings here, but you've got the number 13 guy in the world who just beat your champion and then peaced out into retirement. So what do you do at that point? Because at that point, Michael Bisping is a bit of damaged goods. So you can't just necessarily put him back in there in that championship match, can you?
Well, is it Vitor and Musasi? Is that your number one contender?
Anytime we get to this point, and obviously we're supposing ahead, and I think Michael Bisping's going to win, and he will be my pick for the fight. But I would love to just see, and again, I'd have to look at the events. I really wish we'd have somewhere where they could tell us where these guys are fighting when we click on them or something, because sometimes it's hard to keep straight,
sure,
like who's already booked, because you start looking at the rankings and stuff like that. But I really would love to see like a top four tournament. I mean, that'd be a great tournament. You'd have Jacare, you'd have Rockhold, Weidman is in there, right?
Well, so
and then you'd have Bisping. So you'd have a guy who had to win two fights in the top five in the division to re-legitimize, so to speak, that championship, which I think would take a big hit. So, if you've got the number 13 guy who takes the belt and then goes home with it to spray paint it, camouflage.
Right. So what you have right now is you have Weidman locked up with Romero for UFC New York.
Okay.
You have Jacare locked up with Rockhold. Mm-hmm. And you've got Vitor on Saturday night taking on number 9 Gegard Mousasi, which leaves you Anderson, Whitaker, and Brunson, who don't have dance partners at this point that I'm aware of, although Whitaker and Brunson would make a great fight.
But to be fair, with all those guys, it seems like as far as we're going is New York, right? With all those dudes? I mean, You could then have some type of middleweight championship tournament or something going on in the next 5 months. I mean, all these guys, luckily for this division, they're all right about on the same schedule right now.
Sure.
They're only 4 weeks away, which isn't hard to sync up.
So if Dan Henderson wins, Ken, you don't think that it's Rockhold Jacare, the winner, is number one?
I think they're number one, but is number one, I mean, we've just started to kind of accept that Daniel Cormier is the champion. Seriously.
Okay.
I mean, how many times have we said he's got to fight John Jones, and John Jones had to, like, dick his way out of it so bad that we finally have said, okay, Daniel's a champ because John Jones just can't get out of his own way. We never really did it to give Daniel Cormier credit as much as, well, John Jones has destroyed himself to the point where we don't know if he's rusty, we don't know if he can get in the cage. Okay, Daniel, you're the champion. Good job, buddy. That's where we are with him.
You know,
none of these other fighters are going to probably do that. I don't see Luke Rockhold wrapping his car around a tree and then running away with a big bag of drugs.
No. But
never know.
But what I mean, this is already a mess when you're trying to figure out what's next at this division. It becomes a really big mess if you have Dan Henderson retire and run away with the belt, and then you've got damaged goods Michael Bisping, who was the champ an hour and a half ago, and you've got six guys locked up for some sort of, I know they're not calling it a tournament, but essentially between now and the end of the year,
they got to figure out
six best guys all fight.
They're figuring out at least a number one contender, possibly some type of championship fight.
Sure.
So who out of those gets that fight? Let's go with conventional wisdom right now and start looking at the matchups. Conventional wisdom should tell you Michael Bisping's been more active. We haven't seen the decline. He's an older fighter. He's not as old as Dan Henderson.
No.
And good Lord, somebody probably trained him not to keep circling toward the right hand.
Towards the power. Yes.
I hope somebody stood on his left side and just hit him with a ball bat in training. Anytime he started to circle that way, he just moves to his leg, boom, just hit him with a ball bat. Like that thing that Negan uses. That's what I want them to use.
You want
him
to train with Lucille.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I want that ball bat, that Lucille. I want somebody in his training camp to have hit him with a barbed wire bat every time he circled to his opponent's right.
All right.
I think that would have worked. Well, that'd be fun. We watch him walk out to the cage tomorrow night. Look, he's all scabbed up from all the barbed wire hits. That's a good
Hopefully
training method.
He learned something.
Conventional wisdom. Michael Bisping wins this fight. Who does he fight next? Anderson Silva? Does Anderson get that rematch?
No.
Do we want to just keep giving it to guys who could totally gank up the division as the champion?
No.
Until Bisping just loses it?
I could tell you unequivocally that it should not be Anderson Silva. That is not to say that given the fact that Joe Silva is done in 2 months, that won't actually happen in 2017. But I'm telling you that it shouldn't.
Well, Anderson Silva's pissed right now. You heard about that, right?
Yes.
So you give him the championship fight, he should be happy.
Yes. Right. So, like I said, you've got Rockhold with Jacare. You've got Romero with Weidman. Let's deal with those four at this point. I would say if Jacare beats Rockhold, it's Jacare Bisping.
Yes.
If Rockhold wins, it's winner Weidman Romero, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
You think Weidman Romero, even though Weidman's got that loss against Rockhold?
Yes.
Okay. Did you forget about that loss?
No, because I'm thinking like from a booking perspective.
Okay.
I really feel like you want to put somebody in that Bisping hasn't seen, because what if you put Rockhold back in there, what's the story you tell?
Mm-hmm.
I was unprepared for the guy that walked off a movie set with Vin Diesel to fight me in an octagon, and that's why I lost. Like, what story?
That, what are you talking about? They've used that story before. He caught me off guard the first time. I'll be ready.
He caught me off guard with all his Fast Furious 8 training that he was doing before the fight.
I don't think they're going to let you write it for him, but I mean, you're telling us what they're going to do here in this situation, and that would be exactly it. I wasn't ready for him the first time. I took him lightly. GSP Matt Hughes 2.0. There you go.
You just
laid it out.
I guess
you shouldn't do it for free, considering Joe Silva's leaving.
Fair enough. If it were me, I would say if Jacare wins, it's Jacare. If it's Weidman, Romero, my hope would be Romero wins and it's Bisping Romero.
Bisping Romero. That's your hope? Because I really want to see Jacare in a title fight.
Oh, no. If it's my dream scenario, I want Jacare in that title fight, because I think he's the one of all of these in the top 15 that has earned it at this point, that hasn't had it yet. However, if it's Weidman, Romero that we're picking from, I think Romero is going to win that one, thus making it Bisping Romero.
Okay. Because at some point, I want to see Jacare in there.
Yes, me too.
And see that happen.
That can happen anytime now.
And it's very interesting, too, to look at this division now. And barring a Dan Henderson upset, you've got one of the most interesting and compelling divisions and legitimate divisions, I believe, at this point in the UFC.
Oh, without a doubt, for sure.
So any of those guys being your champion is going to be looked at as a legit threat to anybody. But it wouldn't be a ton of a surprise to see a guy right below him, or two below him, or three below him beat him for the title. And we're really not seeing that in a lot of the other divisions at this point. Maybe a little bit at heavyweight right now, but you've got a guy like if you go all the way down to flyweight, you know, you got DJ who's going to keep winning there.
Yep.
You've got Dominic Cruz, who I don't think anybody's beating there. Featherweight's not going to be defended until 2018 with Conor McGregor.
Right.
He's not going to be beaten because he's staying out of his division.
Yes.
Eddie Alvarez obviously is probably a guy who could be knocked off, but if he gets knocked off by the featherweight guy, you've got a whole bunch of turmoil in lightweight.
Well, and I feel, to your point, that you've got Nurmagomedov and Ferguson are the two X factors in that division that I think could run the table with anybody else in that division. So since neither one of them have had the shot yet,
the problem is you might have Conor McGregor as your champion. You never know where the hell that's going
to
land.
Right. Then you move to welterweight. As you said, you've got Woodley and Wonder Boy. And then after that, it's...
Either of those guys could win. Like, I don't expect Woodley to run off with that. But
the rest of the division is like...
You would expect either of those two guys to probably beat the rest of that division pretty handily.
Probably, yeah.
And then light heavyweight, obviously, DC, we'll talk about Rumble. They're going to do it again, it sounds like.
And I think heavyweight is just a quagmire, just because we've reached peak heavyweight, meaning like they're all pretty much the same.
They're pretty good.
You know.
They're pretty good. They've been cross-training.
They have been cross-training all together in the same gym, so they're all at zero.
Except
for Roy Nelson, who will be out for a long, long time.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that, too. I forgot about the ref kicking.
Yes.
That's some ballsy move right there. How'd he get in the cage with those? It's a big, heavy set to squeeze in there.
All right, as we move on, before we do that, the rest of the card for UFC 204 this weekend, Vitor Belfort, Gegard Mousasi.
I love that fight.
Is your co-main event that lots of people are excited about. Another one that's great is OSP and Jimmy Manawa. That will be at light heavyweight. Stefan Struve back in the octagon.
I like him. He's lanky.
He is.
He looks like a video game character.
From FS1 into the main event is Brad Pickett and Uri Alcantara. That's an amazing fight. And then on the undercard, you've got Danny Roberts and Mike Perry. Lots of fighters on this card that you might not be super familiar with. Leon Edwards and Tumanov. That is a great fight. Davy Grant and Stasiak. That's another great fight.
Ooh, all is he related to Sean Stasiak?
I don't know if he's related to John Stasiak.
Former WCW World Tag Team Champion.
Exactly. But that's all
he
also
held the WWF Hardcore Championship.
All on Fox Sports 1.
Watch out for those chairs in the cage.
Heading in to the main event.
Those little, those little stools.
Henderson, where apparently you and I are in 100% agreement as this will be be Michael Bisping's night to exact revenge. What do you, if it's Michael Bisping?
I think he'll wear Dan out. I think he'll wear Dan, as long as he doesn't get caught, he's going to wear Dan out, and I think he subs or even maybe TKOs him in the third round.
So if it's Michael Bisping, though, and we're pulling from the Conor, and we'll move on after this, and we're pulling from the Conor McGregor model of calling your own shots, does he go after Vitor for another revenge fight? Or does he get in line with the rest of these?
It's interesting. It's interesting because, well, what we saw happen to Tyron Woodley, it didn't work out. He wanted a money fight. He wanted GSP. He wanted Diaz. He wanted one of those fights, and he didn't get either of them. He got the number one guy. A guy like Michael Bisping, let's not forget, the UFC, Dana White, they've always had a soft spot for these Ultimate Fighter guys from years ago, and Michael Bisping is the last one standing. And let's not forget, he put freaking Stefan Bonner in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I get right. It was for a fight. I get that with Forrest Griffin. Isn't Forrest in the Hall of Fame, though, too?
Yes, for that fight.
Not, isn't he for himself? I don't remember. Regardless, there's a soft spot there for those guys. Michael Bisping's been a guy that's been around a long time. We talked about it. One of the best stories to see in the UFC was him finally getting that title, probably winning against Anderson and winning the title in his decade-long career. That was the culmination you want to see in something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised, I guess my point is, if he's able to pick his own shot. And now, will he pick Vitor? Does he want that fight? I don't know. I don't know if he wants that fight, if he wants to give one of the top-ranked guys a shot. But I think Michael Bisping would be one of the few guys who could take a guy like Vitor Belfort, dig a couple more spots down in the division. And it won't be far, because Vitor always kind of floats in that top five anyways.
Well, if Vitor beats Gegard this weekend,
I mean, he'll be
five,
it'll
right?
be very legit. Yeah, right? Yeah, I believe he's five right now. So, I mean, he'll be very legit. So it'll be kind of interesting to see here. Gegard, man, I think he's going to win this fight. I think he's going to win this fight, and that's where we kind of will see him jump a couple of spots.
Yeah,
he's that guy that climbs up, boom, takes a weird loss, and he gets knocked back down just when we were like excited that he was going to be in that title shot spot.
So that's going to be an exciting fight as we head into UFC 204. Just for some context, Bonner and Griffin were guy 10 and 11 inducted into the Hall of Fame specifically for the fight that they had on the Ultimate Fighter.
They technically made them inductees, even though it was for a fight.
Correct.
He loves those Ultimate Fighter guys, man.
I'm telling you, like I said, I really feel like
Ben Affleck love those Ultimate Fighter guys? I guess we'll find out.
We'll have to check with Tom Brady too, since he's part owner as well. And you know, as I told you, I really feel like the Michael Bisping story might be the best story in the sports history.
Yeah.
I feel, just because 10 years in the UFC, the most wins at middleweight,
the eye thing.
I
thought he was going to be blind.
You know, the guys that he fought on TRT that he weathered through to get to this point. I mean, it's a fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday night could be, I mean, look, Saturday night could be the end of that story if he wanted it to be. He exacts revenge on the guy that beat him at UFC 100. And then,
I mean, he's 37.
He's 37, guys.
You made him fight a really old guy, so people forget how old he is. But he's 37 years old, and he's been doing this a long, long time. So, yeah, I mean, you might be right. You beat the champ. You beat Anderson Silva. You beat the guy that that KO'd you years ago and put it on the highlight reel, you might be done. Vitor's not a terrible fight either. He's off the TRT. You don't have to fight him on drugs. Maybe you do that one more shot. You clean up the record a little more, and there you go. I mean, because otherwise, what do you start doing? You're going to go back through, you mean, pull Chael Sonnen out of Bellator? I don't know. I'd watch it, but I mean, yeah, if you're Michael Bisping, you've been doing this now for 12 years. You've been doing it in the UFC a long time. Let me see when he started in the UFC. 06, 10 years in the UFC at this point. A decade in the UFC, which is amazing. And again, he started in the Ultimate Fighter. I think it was, 2 or 3 with Shamrock and Ortiz? One of those.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's one of those first original Ultimate Fighter guys. So, I wouldn't shock me. We haven't heard any rumblings to that effect.
Oh, no, we've heard nothing of the sort. But at 37, this is the big one that's hung over your head.
Yes.
The Vitor one, I think people think
Vitor was cheating.
Yeah, so it's not looked upon as...
I honestly don't remember if that was one of the official pops that Vitor had. I thought it was.
That was an official one. He was not... But, I mean, like, he looked...
And we never know contested that out.
Right.
Interesting.
And, you know, it wasn't like his loss to Vitor Belfort became a logo for somebody's company.
No, that's the one that sticks with you, is the Dan Henderson loss. That's the one that's been shown on replays. Every time Dan Henderson fights, Michael Bisping is in the promo. I hope he gets a little bit of a cut of every pay-per-view up to this point, because because, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? It's a highlight reel knockout, literally.
Uh-huh.
That's what we talk about. No, this is a highlight reel knockout. This is where every time they put a package together with that guy, you know you're about to be in it.
Well, and what's really interesting about said highlight reel knockout, if you go back and watch it as I did this week, you forget about the fact that for 2 minutes, 2 minutes before that happens, Joe Rogan is like, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
Stop circling. Stop circling. Stop circling. Stop circling.
Right.
Please stop circling. Please stop. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Right. So
it was like, the anti-Rogan curse.
Because right.
Usually Rogan says something, especially back then. It felt like every time he's got that arm bar locked
it's
in,
always
the
arm
guy
bar.
Rolls out and yeah. knocks the guy out. Oh, must not have been that tight. So it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. It's in Manchester, so the crowd's on his side. Where is he from originally, Michael Bisping? Is he from Manchester?
I believe he's from Manchester, yes.
Okay, because, I'm just wondering if this isn't going to be a little bit of the Stipe Miocic situation, where he just felt so much pressure fighting in Cleveland and winning that title and having to deal with the crowd and deal with the family and all of the distractions and things like that. So it'll be kind of interesting to see here. Let's see. He was born near Cyprus. That's interesting. Raised in Lancashire. So I don't know where that is. glad I looked that up. I can Google map it.
Yes, you can.
So Lancashire to Manchester?
Okay. Yes. Please Manchester. Tell me how long that is.
Yeah, just
and while you're
know.
Doing that, I'll let you know. At
see,
the,
it's 40 miles away.
40 miles away.
So that could be some hometown pressure right there.
It could be. Hmm. Not the same as doing it in your hometown, though.
Yeah, but still, everybody's going to try to drive in and go to the pub, I'm sure, and
as we
other
are,
English things, sing Adele songs.
As we are recording this, the early weigh-ins are happening for UFC 204, and the fight between Ian Entwistle and Rob Font has been pulled. Because,
oh, that was pulled earlier, I thought.
About an hour ago because of illness.
Okay.
So I wanted to let you know that if you wanted to tune in for that one at bantamweight, that is not on the card.
I'm going
to
call YouTube and get my refund?
Yes, please do that.
Like, no, that fight's not happening. That wasn't even on the main card.
All
I don't care.
All right.
YouTube.
Moving on.
Where's my $44.99?
This weekend, we were notified that we will have an entire month off of events with the pulling of UFC Fight Night, Lamas, and Penn, as BJ Penn was forced out because of a rib injury, which was probably the easiest way to get out of this one without catastrophic injury, because I felt this was going to be a terrible, terrible fight for BJ Penn.
Yeah, and one, this was the only thing that was essentially selling that card
sure.
at this point. So there's a lot of rumors, too, that
yeah, you were telling me.
There was some insanity that the Philippines wanted to test every UFC employee for drugs. Is that true? Did they want to send somebody here? Like even people that weren't going to the Philippines? I was trying to figure this out.
All the people.
Is that true, or is that some weird-ass rumor some people start sending around that the Philippines wanted to drug test everybody in the UFC? Because I think it's sort of hilarious. Like, I would have loved to have seen them just like, Mr. Affleck? Yeah, we're going to need you to pee in this cup. Because we know he's not going to pee clean right now. He's got to do Batman,
right?
So, I don't know. UFC drug testing the entire company. I don't think that kind of event's ever going to go off, so it'll be interesting.
That said, true or not, the two best comments on Reddit were not enough time for Dana to cycle off, and this is the real reason Rogan doesn't want to do overseas events.
Is that it? Let's
yes.
see. Oh, the Philippine government is getting hardcore on drug testing, according to Talk MMA.
Apparently.
That's what they're saying. Every athlete that's on the Philippine card is going to be giving blood work when they get there, according to Talk MMA. Test hot, passport confiscated. Oh, boy. Look at that. Jeremy Botter also says...
Test hot, you're enslaved by the
right,
country.
Right, exactly. That seems excessive. Jeremy Botter also says they forced the card cancellation with crazy drug testing issues. The government was going to test all UFC folks, not just fighters, but staff, production, etc. Any failures for anything, and the government would seize their passports. You can see why this event was rescheduled. So that's what Jeremy Botter is saying on Twitter right now, too. So, interesting. Should we just do that? Should we just test everybody?
Yes.
I don't think we should enslave people into a country, though, if they test for, like, some weed or something.
So that has been pulled. The other...
You're glad BJ Penn's out.
Yeah, I'm super glad. I hope
when did he fight last?
I hope he stays out. You tell me. The other big news...
I don't know.
The other big news is...
You're the one always mad when he's fighting, so I thought you might know.
Because I think fighting Ricardo Lamas was going to be terrible. But the other big news, Roy Nelson facing a lengthy suspension after kicking Big John McCarthy after he beat Antonio Bigfoot Silva. And it looks like...
That was weird. Why was he so... I get it. You wanted the fight finished early. earlier, but what the hell are you doing running over and kicking the ref?
I don't know.
See, this is what happens when you let fighters kick coaches. Everybody thinks they can kick everybody because nobody decided to discipline. Who kicked what's his name? Back at
Verdum.
203. Yeah, Verdum. He kicks a coach. I guess everybody can kick everybody. But that's like the first thing you learn in any sport ever. Ever. Like, name a sport. Just name a sport.
Soccer.
Can't touch a ref. Name another sport.
Football.
Can't touch a ref.
Fencing.
Can't touch a ref. Can't.
Volleyball.
Right. You can't touch a ref.
Golf.
You can't hit them with the club. No. Okay. Anybody. You referee yourself. It's the gentleman's game. You don't hit yourself. Cool. So, what is he doing? What is he thinking? He's a guy that's old enough to know better. Is that it?
Is he
just done with the game? So he's like, I'm going to go out on my terms. Boom. Just kick the guy.
Well, and this is where it gets crazy. So to start it off, he apologized to Dana White, and Dana White says, look, you can't apologize for that. You don't ever, ever, ever put your hands on a referee or your feet or any reason whatsoever. You don't do it. He needs to be buried, is Dana White's statement. Now, he's currently on a 90-day temporary suspension while they figure out what they want to do to him. What they could do to him includes charging him with assaulting Big John McCarthy.
Do you have a problem with that?
No, not at all.
See, I don't either. I feel like if you get well out of the rules of these sporting events, this is talked about a lot with hockey too. Like there seems to be a level of, hey, can you do that to a guy? Can you? I get it. There's a fight, but then there's also assault, and it's not within the rules to do some of these things.
Sure, and I would say if you did that to a ref in hockey, I would say absolutely assault.
Of course,
absolutely go to jail. This is going to be accompanied by a fine of $30,000 and up to a 2-year suspension, and then charged with unethical behavior, which comes with a fine of $10,000 and an additional 6-month suspension. It is in front of the Superior Justice Court, and they are currently suggesting a 14-month suspension and an $18,000 fine, and then we'll have to wait and see what the UFC does, but they might,
I think he's 40 years old. They gotta be done with him.
The way Dana's talking, they might just cut him.
Yeah, I think Dana's pushing for, obviously, the suspension and those type of things to happen, because then it's a cut that they don't have to take any heat on. They don't have to worry about him going to a competitor and showing up at Bellator. And as much as I don't think that makes a single lick of difference, they are still in a business. So if a fighter's under contract and you don't want to have him fight, best thing to do is, I can't deal with the suspension. You're suspended. You get through your suspension, and then we're going to cut you after you just sat on the shelf for a year, because we don't care. Because I don't know, man. This just seems so out of place for him. He's always been kind of a crazy dude, and he's always kind of lived on that reputation. He does not like other fighters. But, man, putting your hands on a ref, that just seems out of left field.
And the excuse is idiotic, right? You're mad because it went on too long for your friend, but you're already fighting your friend.
Yeah, just end the fight. Just end the fight. These guys that get pissed about this, just end the fight. Just stop and put them to sleep or get them in the triangle or whatever you want. Do something. If you're that mad about it, just end the fight. You don't have to keep punching him in the head and getting pissed at the ref if you're really that mad about it.
Right.
What have we talked about? We've talked about crucifix and submissions. Like, when these guys get pissed about the ref not ending the fight, if the fight's really over, you should be able to put somebody in a triangle and choke them out real quick.
Yeah.
You should be able to put them in a crucifix,
especially,
and they can't defend themselves.
I don't know, a BJJ black belt, right?
Like, Jesus, if you're that mad at the ref, just sub him. Just sub him, tap him out, put him to sleep. Just do it. Because otherwise, if the ref's not stopping the fight, well, I can't do that. I give up position. You said the fight should be stopped. So what are you saying? The fight shouldn't be stopped because you're worried about losing position to somebody who's quote-unquote out of it? Just finish the fight.
Right.
This is so weird that he put his hands on the ref.
Yes. Well, and the excuse is almost as weird as the event itself. And like I said, we'll have to see what happens.
This was in Brazil, too, right?
It was in Brazil.
And they think you've gone a little too far.
Right. You know that you're in trouble. And speaking
they
of going,
butt scoot to the grocery store to avoid stabbings. So
speaking of going a little bit too far.
Shrimp.
If you were excited about John Jones.
Over here.
I see you shrimping.
Shrimp.
If you're excited about John Jones getting in front of the commission next week, turns out that's not going to happen, which is why, if you remember, in the end of July or August when Dana was like, they're going to lower the suspension. It'll be blown over. He'll be back in no time, meaning New York. But that's not going to happen because he's not in front of the commission on October 10th. It has been postponed.
Does this mean that there's more to the story than the lightning of the story that we heard before? Oh, no, this is going to be a lighter sentence. This is not as bad as we thought. This was a supplement, guys. Do you think there's something more now? Because otherwise, wouldn't you be like, hey, let me in. I want to do my thing. I want to do my thing right now. I want to do my thing right now and get my suspension done because they just announced a championship fight in my division again without me.
Right.
So is there more to the story at this point?
I would guess at this point they are not indicating, but it's been pushed back to November. However, Nate Diaz and Brock Lesnar are still both on the agenda for October 10th.
Oh, that'd be hilarious if Brock gets cleared
as well as Conor McGregor. Yes.
Wait, what's Conor doing? What'd Conor do? Oh, is this the throwing the cans and all that?
Yep.
Oh, that's a tough one. When is the date for that?
October 10th.
Ooh, so before New York.
Before New York.
Because, wait, now it's interesting because we talk about the fact that you can't put your hands on a ref. I also think in a certain situation, if you've got a public gathering, you can't chuck cans into a crowd.
I don't disagree with you.
You can't chuck water bottles into a crowd.
You're not saying assault, right? Or are you saying assault?
I'm saying you're right on that line, man. Just because you didn't mean to hit somebody doesn't mean you can't hit somebody. Or you didn't hit somebody.
But let's become amateur lawyers. It's like, if you don't mean to hit somebody and hit somebody, is that assault?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you sure?
Like, if I go to punch you in the face and somebody's standing behind you and I hit them, that's assault. Well, I threw the bottle at Nate, but it hit a little girl. My bad. I'm not saying he intended to hit that little girl. I don't know. He's crazy. Maybe.
Okay, we're not arguing that on this show. That is not what he intended to do. Let's just stop right there. And I guess when you compare the two things, because they're next to each other right now, Roy Nelson, after a fight, kicking a referee with intent feels like assault.
I'm not saying that it's not assault. What I'm saying is, can you let a guy throw bottles and cans at an event and not have something happen to him?
If he is the one true king.
Okay. All right. But seriously, this is really, maybe I'm just expecting way too much of commissions and rules and behavior out of fighters, but God, man, I would have to say you can't let fighters chuck things into the crowd and not give them some type of suspension. And even 30 days here screws up New York.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't it?
No, yes. Yeah, no, you're right. Right? Because it's November 12th.
Yeah, I mean, it's close, I guess, depending on how they want to work that, unless it's another stupid NSAC ruling where, oh, we're going to backdate this to when it happened and give you 30 days.
That's the rules.
Yeah, but he wasn't fighting, so I mean, I don't know.
Yes, he was.
So, I don't know. I know he's fighting now, and he was in training to fight, but I mean, if you didn't do it then that suspension means nothing, because he got to fight within the window, and he'll also get to fight within this window.
Yeah, it's 12, sorry.
But again, that doesn't mean...
But if that's the rule, you threw it at a press conference prior to you fighting while you're all under license in Nevada.
Right, and he got to fight.
Right.
He got to fight Diaz, so there was no suspension that was effectively done at that point.
Well, he was off the whole time in between.
Okay, all right.
Suspended at his house.
When are we starting that suspension? Right after. Right after his fight with Diaz. That's when we're going to backdate it to. I don't know, man. I get it. Nobody wants his fight to get screwed up at this point, but let's take a realistic look at the situation. You're chucking a giant can into a crowd. And again, that would hurt.
So yes, it would. So what would you do to him? Are you pulling him off that card?
I don't know. I think you should do what like dads did in the 50s and make him drink a whole case of Monster. Like if they caught you smoking, you got to smoke the carton. You're drinking a beer, you got to drink the whole case.
Right before weigh-in, so you,
right,
can't,
there you,
you
go.
Can't actually make weigh-in.
There you, no, right after, and let's just see what happens, or right before the fight.
Let's just see what happens.
Like, you got to do the whole case of Monster right before the fight. Like, he gets handed a case of Monster 90 minutes before he has to go in the cage.
Oh,
if it's not gone, he can't fight
that sounds
Eddie
terrible.
Alvarez.
That sounds terrible.
Look, it'll get the fight done, and people will tune in, and Monster will up their buy.
That's very true.
It's ratings and revenue, Eric. It's ratings and revenue.
It is. Okay, and then real quickly as we segue out for the weekend, as always, you can follow along on Twitter and Facebook. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of Josh Salmon over the weekend at 28. He was found unresponsive on Friday. Troy Kirkberg, who he was with, was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. Salmon was in a coma for 3 days and then passed, I believe, on Monday.
Yeah, don't do drugs, man.
It's crazy. He was
That's
supposed to
what
do
it looks like.
Due to fight in December, and yeah, it looked like a drug overdose. And if you have not read his book, you should...
I didn't know he wrote a book.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting, actually. You should check that out because it gives kind of a glimpse into getting off of this stuff and just how difficult that is. And then, obviously, those continue to haunt you.
So, all right.
Terrible news in the MMA world for us to end on, and I apologize for that, but I figure we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that at all. So thoughts go out to the friends and family of Josh.
Next week on the show, we're obviously going to have 204.
We are.
We're going to talk about Cormier Johnson, which we didn't get too much today, but we're going to have a lot of time with the big gap here, so we'll get to break that down a lot.
Yeah, we'll have tons of time to break into that. I mean, real quickly before we go, go. Do you see this one being different?
Possibly. I'll tell you why next week.
I love it.
There you go.
Nice.
So give us good ratings. iTunes, Google. Man, did you see what Google did to the podcast market?
I know.
It doubled it in like a day.
Yeah, it's interesting when you see these things and you put them out in different platforms, how they just take on a life of their own. And apparently Google is the MMA capital of the universe.
Yes.
So thank you to all of you who are downloading this on Google Play. Because
it's so much easier for Android. I love podcasts, but it was a pain in the ass digging them from everywhere. And now those of you that have Android, you have Google Play, your podcast sitting right there. So if you're still with some other app, and I'm not disparaging any other app by any means, but go check that out because you're going to be able to manage all your podcasts a lot better.
It's a great interface. And what Ken's referring to is if you're playing around on Overcast or something along those lines, this might be something.
Stitcher, whatever you've got us on.
You might want to check this out because it is apparently where all the MMA fans are. So shout out to all of you downloading us on Google. And if you're on iTunes, remember, this is how this works. And I can tell you, Ken and I have been friends for over 20 years, and we would not do this if we didn't have to. I promise you that. But in order for more people to listen to the show, you have to give us a review one way or the other. That's how it bubbles up in the iTunes store. So if you are listening on iTunes and have not given a review, it would be amazing if you could do that right before UFC 204. We would love you forever.
So reviews, stars, ratings, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you find us, make sure you do that. Thank you very much.
It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.